Hi, welcome to the third installment of Gen Life Podcast. I'm Cameron Eason.
I'm Claire Ennick.
And I'm Serene Diamond.
And today, we're going to be talking about a good night out. Here is some interviews of people around the college campus at Red River College and how they describe a good way to have a nice, cheap, fun night out. Listen to it here.
It's a Gen Life magazine.
Gen Millennial Lifestyle, so.
What do you do for a cheap night out?
It's good.
It's cheap?
Yeah, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true. You get in for free.
Well, what I would do is cabbing, it's expensive. So what I would do is I would arrange a ride for having a friend either pick me up or drop me off or have a safe ride there to and from. That way I'm not paying for cabs. I think that's the main thing that I look for.
Do you pregame?
I do pregame. Pregaming is a lot better because that way you're not spending, you know, a ridiculous amount of money on drinks at the restaurant or the bar you're at.
And do you have a particular type of alcohol that you find cheap?
Always beer. Beer's always
beer.
A go-to.
Beer's a go-to. Keeps you bloated so then you don't drink too much.
That's very true as well.
That if I drink an entire bottle of wine before I go there and I wear a low-cut top, I don't have to buy drinks at all for the rest of the night.
What is the reason for that?
I don't know. Some people just, they're a fan of the color, maybe.
They might. Gotcha. Thank you. I'm using that.
I'm Cameron Eason. Back to the studio. Anyways, so Claire, let's start with you. What is your favorite way to spend a good Saturday night that's not going to break the bank, that you're going to have a good time?
So I don't really go out that much anymore just because I don't have that much time. But when I did go out, I like avoided clubs and bars completely and just went to like these weird, not basement parties, but they were basically like warehouse, not warehouse raves, but just like hole in the wall, like you pay the guy $10 at the door and it's just like in a Facebook event, like it's not even at an established like place or anything. So yeah, those were always just like $10 and you would get in from like 10 to 5 a.m. and party that whole time. It's really good. I would highly recommend it. Yeah, and I didn't really, there's no alcohol at those places, like they're not licensed or anything, so I didn't really drink, like just cab places or walk or bus. And now that we have tap car, actually, I think that'll be an even better option for people.
Yeah, tap car is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's
how do you find these places if they are somewhat hidden?
You just join a bunch of like Facebook groups. Like I'm in like Winnipeg rave community and stuff, and everybody just posts their events on there. Yeah.
So ravers. Yes. I've never been to an actual rave.
Yes.
So maybe like describe like what the appeal and the experience is to a non-raver.
So the reason why I like used to and still kind of do go to raves is because I wasn't really a big fan of club culture. Like I feel like as a woman going to a club, not that you send a certain message, but guys just try and pick up on you and like I just wanted to avoid that completely. So I find that with raves, like there are still some predatory guys, but it's definitely not as ingrained in that culture as it is in like regular clubs. Like if I were to go to, I don't know, OV or like Whiskey Dicks or some stuff, I would feel like less comfortable as opposed to going to a rave.
There's a certain level of aggression that comes with a lot of the typical nightclubs.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's, I remember like one time I went to a club early because there was a little door prize thing for getting there early. I think it was Whiskey Dicks.
Yeah.
And so we got there at about 9:30. And by 10 o'clock, there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And me and my friend started to notice creepy looking dudes just circled the dance floor like vultures.
Yeah.
And then
that sounds about right.
Then once the bar got packed, they had already actually picked out their targets and would go buy them drinks, dance with them. And like it's really just a gross, it's become a gross thing for like anybody that's over 19, I think.
Yeah.
It's all fun and good. You turn 18, you go to the clubs, you go overdo it all the time, and you put yourself in really bad situations because everyone is just so naive at that age.
Yeah.
And like it, I guess like your point about how rave culture is compared to clubs is actually a really good point because I do not enjoy clubs at all. As a 22 turning 23 year old guy, no part of me likes it. And it's not even because I feel uncomfortable, because I'm a guy. Yeah. It doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
But it still grosses me out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So.
It's my kind of favorite ways to go out. I like going to like a tavern or a pub where you can sit down, you can all get drunk and drink, but I like the conversational aspect. I like the sports on the background, or when they have those trivia games that you can play on your phone.
Yeah.
I personally find those at this stage in my life are a much nicer night out. And even, you know, being in bed by 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
How about you? Because you're 25.
24. You got that wrong again last week,
I get
too.
This wrong every time. Everyone that's, like, over 22 is 25. Everyone that's over 25 is 30. That's the way it works.
That's the way it is.
I don't think that's logical or factual in any way, Cam.
Probably not.
All right. So, for me, honestly, I don't really go out ever. And my, like, ideal Saturday night is, like, in bed with snacks and pajamas watching TV.
Yeah.
But I did used to go out a fair bit when I was younger, and the place that I normally would go to is me and my friends would go to Fame, which is the local LGBT nightclub.
Yeah.
I mean, there's technically two, but no one goes to the other one because it's a toilet. Club 200 is a total toilet.
Kind of charming.
Okay,
I
went there once, and it was, like, actually the saddest thing that I had ever seen. I walked in, and there was, like, all of these, like, single, lonely 50-year-old people drinking their martinis, playing their VLTs, just looking sad.
The dance floor is probably the size of this room. What is the size? Like, this is 6 by, like...
Yeah,
the dance floor. The dance floor at Fame is quite big.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually
most of the clubs.
Yeah.
So, Fame, I mean, I still like Fame. I don't go that often because, like I said, I would prefer a night in to a night out.
Definitely.
But when I do go, I find it a lot of fun. I think that it sidesteps a lot of the problems that straight clubs tend to have with the whole predatory nature.
Yeah.
There's still a little bit of it, but it tends to be a lot less. And, I mean, the little bit of it is still mostly with the straight people because in recent years, Fame has kind of shifted to be, I'd say about 50-50.
Yeah.
Because first it was, like, mostly LGBT people, but then, the LGBT people would bring their cisgendered female friends.
Yeah.
And then the guys caught on and they're like, oh, hey, there's all of these
all
cute
the women
single
going
girls
there,
going
to
Fame.
Yeah.
And so now it's about 50-50, but, from my friends, they, like, maybe get hit on once or twice over the whole course of the night, and even then, mostly they were nicer about it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if we go to any other club, they get hit on, like, 20 times, and it would just be gross.
Yeah, it's aggressive.
Interestingly about Fame is, I've only been twice, I think, and the first time I went there, actually, the security guard, like, stopped us, because I guess he could tell that me and a couple of my friends were straight. One of our friends is gay, and then our girlfriends wanted to go. And he actually stopped us and he said, hey, like, you know, like, he explained what the club is. We're like, yeah, we know. But I think that they might have experienced problems in the past, which is why I think the security guards are actually going out of their way to filter who's going in.
Yeah.
That's actually does a lot of good. Like,
it does.
Because the fact that the security guard can just tell who's who.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, that might be kind of problematic because, like, on some level, yes,
you might
can kind
off.
Of tell, like,
you
who's
can get it
straight.
Wrong, and you can get it wrong.
Yeah, but at the same time, you could get it wrong. Like, a gay guy could
that's
totally
going
wear,
off
like,
stereotypes.
A hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's completely going off stereotypes.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, like, when there are people that will go to places like that just to do bad things and be dicks and whatever, you really do want
to
try and
you
filter
kind
those
of
people
to,
out.
Yeah, and there really aren't that many of them. And even, like, I find that there's less of a predatory nature there in, like, because of the way that LGBT people pick each other up, which is different from how straight people tend to. At least what I've noticed at Fame is that it's very different.
Huh.
I find that the lesbian or female inclined females, they'll just be straight up and they'll just go over and talk to people and they're like, hey, you're cute, do you want to dance?
Yeah.
And, like, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Whereas with guys, it's not like, you know, they'll scope out their target. It's this, like, weird sort of, like, game of cat and mouse with eye contact.
Between, like, gay men?
Yeah, where they're, like, they'll, like, both wander around the room and just kind of look around. And then if you, like, you catch the eye contact, and then every now and again you, like, look back and you'll stare. If you stare for, like, 3 or 4 seconds, you know, like, there might be something there.
Yeah, the vibes.
And then, like, they'll come over and talk to you, but you won't just get completely blindsided and someone will, like, come up and start grinding up on you and be like, hey, let's bone. Like, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah,
that's definitely a thing at regular.
It is. So that's why I like Fame. They play fun music. The people are nice.
Yeah.
There's always a few guys there I've noticed that are just like fucked on drugs that are doing some crazy dancing in the corner.
Oh yeah.
there's one bearded guy that's just like
there's stripper poles just yeah. in the middle yeah. of the dance floor after the side that anybody can go and dance on. There's also cages that anybody yeah. can also yeah. go and dance in. Yeah. So it gets pretty fun.
That's yeah. actually like really cool shit. Like
and there's also like a little area off to the side where it's like a little bit quieter. Lounge, so you yeah. can like hang out if you want to just talk, and there's yeah. like pool tables. So it's a good time. I always enjoy my time out at Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I've been hit on a few times there by guys, and I actually do find it is a lot more respectful than what I've seen guys hit on girls at, say, like, Whiskey Dicks, or now what it is, the Palomino.
Yeah, mostly it's like, hey, you're cute.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, no, and like, I would just say, yeah, no, I'm straight, thanks, though, and then they'd still buy me a drink anyways. And
yeah.
Thanks. Like, yeah, and, you know, like, yeah, it's just a much more respectful environment because, you know, I've seen... At some clubs I've been to, I think it was Stereo, which is now the Tavern. It's not a club anymore.
Yeah.
And me and my friends actually got, like, we got this guy kicked out because he offered a girl, like, he said, hey, I want to buy you a drink. And she said, no, thanks. I'm here with my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And he got mad and, like, hit her drink down.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, my friends and I, we just kind of, like, pinned him up. And we're like, what the fuck is your deal? Like, he wasn't intoxicated. He was, like... Straight up just a douchebag.
Just entitled.
Right? Yeah. Entitled piece of shit. Yeah. And so the security guard, we knew him.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, you're fucking gone. And he just dragged him out.
Nice.
And it's unfortunate that has changed like the way nightclub experiences are. Because I think like, I've talked to my parents before about how their experiences were. And they didn't have those things happen as often.
Really?
Yeah. I think our generation, which is interesting on this podcast, because the whole point is like our generation is very entitled. And you kind of find these spaces that are just, you know, you get enough entitled people into a circle and it just ruins the whole time.
I think maybe it also has to do with just, like, the advancement of technology and social norms and that, like, now I feel like people are more comfortable being more forward and pushy about what they want. And I think having all of these dating apps like Tinder definitely kind of... helps cement that because it's this whole idea of like if you want something you just go and say exactly what you want and you can get it within 5 minutes. So I think that is kind of helping to shape the environment, but at the same time I also think that we're starting to see a pushback against that. I think we're seeing like some side sort of area of people that are definitely coming out and being more aggressive in that area, but I'm also seeing a lot more people that are being against it, being like, no, this is something that is not okay, and we have to speak up about it and point out where we see it.
Well, it's even interesting, like, we were just talking about Fame and, like, talking about entitlement. It's interesting, like, the dynamic between gay men and, like, cis straight women, right? And I've found, personally, is that gay men, they feel like they can be more touchy with you as a woman just because they're like, oh, no, I'm not, like... not attracted to you, but it's like, okay, but you still can't come up and like touch my hair and stuff, you know what I mean? So that's just an interesting point about entitlement. Like, it's not just straight guys who will
do that
to women, right? Yeah, I don't know.
I've never thought about that before.
It's interesting, when you kind of start to think about it, you're like, places outside of Winnipeg to go for a night out, what is your favorite?
Oh, it's actually tough to think about. Like, I've been to nightlife in Toronto, which was I mean, I was with my dad, and we ended up going to a nightclub.
You went to a nightclub with your dad?
We thought it was a bar, and we didn't stay very long, but it was actually a very fun place.
That's hilarious.
we were just kind of like bar hopping on Yonge Street, and this one place was just... So, like, it you know, we didn't stay long, but I could just... The vibe that was there was very... it wasn't, like, sweaty and grimy like, say, 441.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the hip, modern... club in Winnipeg. It was a little more like there's more space, and it was like 2000s music, which is always a hit wherever you go. Sydney, Australia has a ridiculous amount of nightlife, and some of I actually have a weird story about that. There's an entire strip by King's Cross Station, if anyone's been there, and I was staying in a hostel there, and so we went bar hopping there, and there's a bunch of nightclubs and small bars and stuff like that. And then we walk by this one place, and this big, big security guard standing out there, and he's like, hey, you wanna come and check this place out? And we're like, maybe, and he drags us in, like, he literally grabs us by the arms, like, come check it out.
Nice.
And it was a brothel. And we were like,
wow.
When we realized what it was, because there was three women standing in a line, and then there was, like, sheeted rooms, and we were like, what? And he goes, yeah, pick one. And we're like, thank you. We're going to go now.
Oh my goodness.
It was a super weird experience. And like, I barely knew the two guys I was with, and it was so funny because like, you never know, maybe one of those guys would have been into it or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
But all three of us had the same expression, like, what is this? But they were German, and brothels are legal in Germany, and they were still like blown away by the aggressiveness of the security guard. I come from North America, and like, obviously we're in Canada, so like, that's such a foreign concept.
Yeah.
Because yeah, brothels are legal in Australia.
Australia.
Germany, it's legal. It's legal in a lot of places now, and it's interesting. They all have different laws and stuff. But yeah. It was like a nightclub vibe in there. Like there was a dance floor too. It was like
that's
a little
weird.
Brothel off to the side, and it was just like the weirdest thing. Whenever I've pictured like, you know, the red light rooms, like, you know, the song Roxanne, and like the typical picture you paint yourself of a brothel. It was nothing like that in the inside, but we were there for like 5 minutes. We were like, this is weird. Oh. We're leaving.
Maybe you entered one of those weird like sci-fi futuristic brothels where there's always like the flashing lights and the music and the women like half draped in cloth.
True.
That's how they are in Germany.
So there you go. German brothels are the future.
They are.
You heard it here first, people.
You heard it here first. But yeah, I'd say that was an interesting place for nightlife. Brisbane, Australia, another good place. Auckland, New Zealand had some of the lamest nightlife I've ever seen, but it made it so much more fun because, you know, a lot of people there are just like, I find Kiwis dance like really awkwardly and slowly. I just move their shoulders. And so me, two other Canadians I had met, two Germans and an Aussie, we just got tanked, and we were at the front of the dance floor. We were hanging out with the DJ. We had a great old time.
Nice.
So, like, it gives you more opportunity to have a good night, I find, when, like, it's a weird nightlife vibe. But, yeah, I found Auckland was just a bizarre, bizarre city for that. Mm. But I think Winnipeg's nightlife is up and coming. I think we're getting there. I just don't think we're there yet as a city that's known for it.
Well, I think, like, the thing about our nightlife is that, like, it's all about the festivals. Like, you have Nuit Blanche, you have Folk Fest, you have Meme, like the Manitoba Electronic Music Exhibition, you have the Reggae Festival, so it's like all of these things that just come for...
I want to go to the Reggae
it's
Festival.
It's really fun.
I love
it's really fun.
I didn't even know we had one.
Yeah, it's at the Cube.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and go this year, because it's so cool.
It's like, always a good time.
I freaking love reggae.
Yeah.
I find the thing with Winnipeg nightlife is that it's a lot more sort of underground indie scene. Like there is a fairly big one, but it's, you know, kind of like what you were saying where there's like the secret underground like raves, but then also there's like, you know, oh, there's like, is it jazz night at the cave on Wednesdays or something? It's something
Soul
night.
Soul
night.
Yeah.
Soul night.
Soul
night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. At the cavern.
Oh my God. Every single Tuesday when I was 18, I was in the cavern. Like, yeah.
Yeah. See, so there are like these weekly music events that people go to, but it's not, I mean, Winnipeg is less of a club scene. Like there is one for sure. And there's a certain type that go to that, but I'd say more, Winnipeg is into like the underground music scene.
Yeah.
I think that comes from Winnipeg is just very distinct in, the majority of people that live here are blue-collar workers, and so our clubs are blue-collar clubs. They're typical dance clubs, country clubs, a lot of country clubs, and that just comes from the blue-collar background. And then you have this, it's a smaller segment, but the urban population likes the underground stuff because it's more authentic.
Yeah.
And so the people in the urban centers, I think, want the authenticity, and the people in the blue-collar scene, they kind of want the... You know, they just want to drink beer and listen to country music and stomp their boots.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why we don't have that quite that dynamic yet, because most cities have three or four different, like, subgroups of classes in their city that like different things. And I think Winnipeg only really has two. We have urban and suburban.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and, like, even with our clubs that we do have, they all cycle through so fast. Like,
oh, so fast.
Yeah, like 441 was...
Opera.
Yeah,
opera. People got stabbed there too much.
Yeah, and then there's Nectar, like, on Portage. Like, they all just kind of, like, cycle through each other, which is
I was really
weird.
Upset when Whiskey Dick's closed.
You were upset?
That was actually one of my favorite places for a fun time.
Booty Shake Mondays?
Booty Shake Mondays was fun.
Gross.
It is. I went like 3 times in my life. But it's still fun. Like, it was funny. I remember my friend used to be in a band that was at Whiskey Dicks every Saturday, and so I started going every Saturday with, and they always would have live music, even if he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And I'd always end up on stage, dancing, getting kicked off stage by security because I didn't want men on stage, go back on stage when they're not looking, my friend would pull me back up.
Right.
It was a good time. Even if he wasn't performing, though, like, the live music element and, like, the bars, it's a classic building. And what was cool about it was, like, they do salsa nights every second Saturday underneath, like, in the basement, which is the deadliest stairs on planet Earth. You're close, like, you're wishing for death every time you go down them. They're like these thin concrete stairs. Girls that wear heels, like, do you want to die today? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a scary situation. I don't know how it's even allowed at this point. Because, like, fire safety, like, everyone would just get trampled to die. But the salsa nights were so cool because you'd go downstairs and there would always be, like, a Mexican DJ with Mexican music and, you know, tequila shots cheap. And it was like you couldn't even hear what was going on upstairs. It'd be like a live band upstairs and a completely different scene, and everyone would be salsaing and having a great time down. It was great. And then they changed it to the Palomino Club, and it just, you know, chain clubs. Who wants a chain club?
I just
find that lame. I find that doesn't do anything for our nightlife scene.
Well, and I feel like Winnipeg, like, a lot of people place, like, an emphasis on trying to be authentic and, like, homegrown and local, you know what I mean? And so whenever chain things come through, it's kind of like, are you, like, okay, fine. Like,
yeah, so true. Like, Palomino, to me, is, like, almost like the Pony Corral. Like, I get that they're different things.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's still only one, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, is
the other one Palomino closed and it moved.
Which one's that?
The Palomino? It used to be on Portage, and then that one closed, and they demolished the building, and then it moved
but
over to
what isn't there
used...
Palominos and other places?
I don't think so.
Or is Palomino a homegrown? Maybe it's not. I thought it was like Pony Corral. It's like all over the place.
Is it just because their names are somewhat similar?
Yeah, and they have horses as their logo.
Cam.
I always thought Palomino was, And Palomino is also known for the cougar scene.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested.
Okay, I'm curious about that, though. Did the cougar scene move when they moved into the other building?
Yes, I've been there.
All right, okay, I was wondering about that.
It's actually
I know
crazy.
It was when it was in the Portage one, but I wondered, like, you know, would it still maintain the same crowd when it moved, or would it be the crowd, like, the old crowd that stayed in the building?
Well, they have, like, the, like, everybody over 30 gets in free. Like, is that what
it
is? Yeah.
Everyone over 30 is in free. And so I would actually recommend this. If people are, you know, single and lonely and sad, and they, you know, you're looking for, if you're a straight guy and you're looking for a girl to hang out with and have fun, like, Palomino Club, I find older women are so much more forward. They're very much like, hey, I think you're cute, let's drink and actually hang out. And they don't just take your drink and run away. They sit down with you and they talk and they just hang out. It's actually a lot of fun.
Older guys are just creepy.
Older guys are creepy as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's why male cougars don't exist. No one wants them. But yeah, it's a definitely different vibe, though. It's Whiskey Dicks was a great, great part of the city, and so it is a shame that it's gone.
I never went, like, me either. And I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. Same.
I don't sleep at night, like, yep.
I almost went once when a friend of a friend tried to drag us for her birthday, and then we were there, we were waiting outside, and we were like, nah, F this, let's go.
Oh, the waiting outside there is so bad, because it's so bottlenecked to get in.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Cowboys?
Of course I've been to Cowboys. I spent so many, I don't live in Winnipeg, I live outside of town, for anyone that didn't know, and I live in a small town called Lorette, and it's only about 15 to 20 minutes to get to Cowboys. So Cowboys ends up being, for everyone that lives outside of Winnipeg on the east side, there's about 4 towns that are prominent that go to Cowboys. There's Ile-de-Chêne, Landmark, Lorette, and St. Anne. And Richer, I guess. And everyone from those areas is, you know, blue-collar families. Not everyone, I shouldn't generalize, but most people that like country music, that just like bar scenes with some dancing elements. And Cowboys is a huge club. It's a great venue. It really is. And the scene there is very 18, 19-year-old.
Yes.
Very. Yes. I'm assuming you've been.
I've been there once. It was when I was 18, and my best friend at the time, she had her birthday party there, and her birthday's on Halloween. Oh my god.
That place is disgusting.
Oh my god.
Halloween.
It's horrible.
It is nasty.
I would never.
I went there one Halloween. It was the grossest thing ever. Like, no one even tries to cover their body parts. Men and women. Yeah. Like, I'm not just talking women here. Like, saw some male genitalia on Halloween, and I'm like, this is just, why?
Because he's dressed as a sexy philanthropist, probably. Because
it would be like, yeah, like one guy was in a lab coat, okay? And then he would just open it, and there was nothing underneath, and
oh,
I was like,
that's
like
a flasher.
Is this your, is this your, like, pickup line? Is this your trick?
Okay, so for me, when, like, the costumes went from, like, dumb to self-aware back to just, oh my god, what are you doing? Yeah. At least twice is when I saw a sexy flower costume.
Sexy flower. It's a plant!
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The shit people, I mean, remember when Ebola outbreaks was a big thing? And they actually made, I saw it at Party Stuff, a sexy Ebola costume, and it was a hazmat suit with the Ebola symbol on it. And I was like, this is just insensitive to people that are fucking dying.
I feel like hazmat and sexy are just, like, two completely opposite things.
Yeah, because when
you're supposed to be totally covered, and I don't know.
And, like, when you see someone in a hazmat suit, you're probably not thinking, wow, I want to sleep with that person. Yeah. Like, they're probably protecting themselves.
You're like, get away from this
person.
From,
like, some germs. Yeah. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
I've seen some bad ones. You know, like, I've seen sexy Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
I've seen that one, too.
Okay. Fred Flintstone is like a chubby little man. But we're going to make it sexy. Okay. I've even seen... This was the best. I don't know if this girl made it up herself, and I think she did, because I don't think it's an actual costume, but she did a sexy Dumbledore. And it was like this tight, barely covering, like, robe that she had sewn a Hogwarts patch on. She wore a fake beard, so props her, and a wizard hat, but, like, underneath was just, like, lingerie, and then, and you could see everything, and it was actually so good, like,
that's funny.
I had to go up to her, and I was like, you're sexy Dumbledore, and she's like, yes, I am, and I was like, you have the best costume I've seen in my life. She pulled it off really good. You see stuff like that, and it's funny.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, like, I'm a mouse. You put ears on.
And oh, but I'm a sexy mouse.
Do you guys dress up for Halloween or go out? Like, is that a thing that we still do? Or?
Depends on the year. I don't know. I feel like usually I just...
Last year, did you go out?
Last year, yes. I didn't do anything. I stayed at home and, like, watched not even scary TV and ate regular candy, not even Halloween candy.
Not even Halloween candy.
And then went to bed at, like, 10:30 because I had class the next day.
Yeah.
But the, like, previous years, not last year, but usually in the last, like, 3 or 4 years, I've just hung out with my friends. We've gone to someone's house. We've just, like, ate a bunch of candy and watched scary movies and played scary video games. And that's our Halloween celebration.
Nice.
Yeah, that's fun. And that's what, like, Halloween is kind of fun to do, is stay in with friends. Like, I think it was last year, I was Harry Potter, because it's an easy costume. Yeah. I already have round
glasses.
How many
times have you been Harry Potter,
like,
Cam?
4. It's going to keep going. It's like, once you become an adult, your Halloween costume essentially stays the same.
You just cycle it every
year. Like, I'm not spending money on one day a year. Like, maybe one little prop to make me something else, but yeah. And, well, normally what we do is we go in my garage and we play beer pong and we just hang out and play music. And then we go to the bar at about 12:30, 1 o'clock with our costumes and see if there's anyone that we know there, which there always is because it's a small town. I'm not a big Halloween club guy at all either. Yeah. I know some people are into that. I find that's one of the worst nights to go out.
Yeah.
I usually do dress up, but I'm kind of lazy in it, in that, like, I do cosplay sometimes for conventions with my friend.
Yeah.
And so I already have these costumes lying around, so, like, nice. I'm just going to wear one of these, and then no one will have any idea who I am.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually...
Some really niche characters.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's Komaida from Danganronpa 2. And people are like, what?
Yeah,
that's the weird
Don't worry
thing
about
too.
It.
That's the weirdest thing, too, about Halloween is, like, everyone wants to be something recognizable. Like, Halloween is actually such a weird concept to me. Like, its roots and origins compared to what it is now, it's like a big capitalistic money-wasting
holiday.
Yeah, it's
but
every
I feel
holiday
like in the last, like, especially 20, 30 years, there's been a sharp turn from just, like, typical styles of movie monsters to, like, specifically characters from things.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, I feel like even when I was little, like 3 and 4, there weren't really a bunch of people dressing up as, like, you know, recognizable movie characters. People were like,
there was
Star Wars,
I think.
Yeah, well, Star Wars, but mostly it was like, I'm a witch, I'm
Disney
a werewolf,
princesses.
I'm a vampire.
And, like, I'm 4 years younger than you are, so, like, that's a little bit of a gap. But, like, yeah, I dressed up as Jasmine from Aladdin. Yeah, one year that was me. Like, so I disagree with you. I think that there were, like...
I think there were some, but I think there weren't as many as there are now. Because, now everyone wants to be a character.
But even 20 years ago, I think, like, the late 90s and early 2000s was, like, the real, like... heavy branding of franchises.
Oh my
god,
the Spice Girls.
But it was like Disney Princesses, for example. They decided to team up with Disney Princesses as a brand of its own.
That's true.
Right, and
yeah.
that was when we were young kids.
Yeah.
And that I think that whole trend just sparked what Halloween is today. Like movies became. It wasn't one movie. You didn't have a standalone.
Movies
maybe
are
a
brands
sequel.
Now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Harry Potter, for example. Like. Twilight was a big one that people started that one was hard to dress up as, mind you, because like they were just people.
Yeah.
Some of them turned into weird shit. But like Harry Potter was a big one. You had
Marvel
just became a brand of its own. You have movies like that just blew up. I think it really started in the 70s with Star Wars, but it just took a while for everyone else to catch up, because Star Wars was the first ones to create merchandise the way they did. Like, because I know my dad told me, like, when he was a kid in that time, Star Wars was shaking up the world because people were dressing up as clone troopers instead of, like, a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And so everyone was mind-blown. And I think it really, like, Star Wars did so much for just how people dress up and how people view, like, merchandise now in general. It's,
yeah.
And now we have today that everyone wants to market everything, even if it's, like, a shit product.
I was watching this one... YouTube video where this girl was found all of these discount Halloween costumes and then just wore them and like reviewed them.
Oh.
And one of them she found was it was a Star Wars costume, but it was Plo Koon. Which, if you have no idea who Plo Koon is, that's exactly the point.
That's so funny. If you at the time in your life that you are right now, obviously we're all in college and it's hard. If you had no assignments due on Monday in some fantasy world and you had the whole weekend, what a treat that would be to do anything you wanted. What would you do?
If money, like, do I have all the money?
You have enough money to have a good weekend. Like, let's not be ridiculous, say you have $1 million,
right.
But, like, you have.
Like,
a couple
hundred
bucks.
Like, a reasonable night out.
Yeah. You have $100 extra dollars to spend on stuff and all that. I can go first.
Do it.
Okay.
All right. So let's say that it's springtime and I had $100. I would let's even say like I had enough money to like do some cool stuff. I would probably take my dog and my girlfriend and like rent a cabin and bring some alcohol and like some old like 80s like weird movies, sci-fi or something, and just have a nice night out. There, like I really do like being. I don't like being at home. Like I don't find that relaxing. I find relaxing to be at like the lake, or I like being outdoors and stuff. So like that would be my at this age now at 23. That would be my ideal night out.
Yeah.
If it was like stay in Winnipeg, I think I'd probably just go to the tavern and maybe, maybe I'd go to like Sky Zone.
Oh, yeah.
And go
to
the
go
Forks.
There.
Yeah, me too.
Go to the... Yeah, Sky Zone, I haven't even been there. And go to the Forks, hang out at the Forks, have dinner. Then go to maybe some cool little club in the Exchange District and just hang out there. Like, even the King's Head. I do like the King's Head. But, like, that would be ideal at this age for me anyways.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like, at this age, even though I'm, like, 20, which is still pretty young. But,
Such baby.
I know, but
you.
I'm still, like, I feel like I'm 60. Like, I don't want to go out at all. So I'd probably just, like, I don't know, order, like, a pizza or something and watch a movie on the couch. But if I had to go out, I'd probably, do the same. Like, go out for dinner and then find some small club or something. Nothing, like, crazy extravagant or,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, the answer kind of depends on the specs a little bit. If, I would probably just say, like, oh, I'm just going to stay in and order food and eat a bunch of candy and watch TV and marathon a video game or something. But if it's like, oh, well, you actually have to go out and I had, like, the whole weekend and, like, at least, maybe $200 or $300, I would say, oh, I'll go on a road trip. Go to, like, a nice city somewhere, not super far away, but, within, like, 10 hours. just go somewhere else because I love road trips. Nice. And just like be in another city for like a day.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
If I had to be in the city, I would say maybe just like a staycation, like a night at a hotel. Or other than that, if it was like go out, then probably go out for karaoke.
Yeah.
Karaoke is fun.
Yeah, go for a nice meal, go out for karaoke, maybe do an escape room.
Yeah.
Escape rooms, too. Love escape rooms.
Yeah, so what are your, that's a good point, like, what are your favorite things to do when you go out that are not, like, drinking at a bar? Escape rooms?
I'm with Serene on that. I love road trips. I love going to places I don't go often or haven't been much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when money's tight and you can't travel the world and you can't go see cool places, like, maybe you can just go spend a weekend in Regina.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can go to Brandon. Like,
yeah. Well, maybe don't spend a weekend in Regina.
Yeah,
Regina sucks.
Shit. Saskatoon is a nice city, though. Actually, my cousin was living up there for a bit, and he loved it. He said, like, it's just, like, the small market type of scene that's going on there is incredible. But,
nice.
Going to a different place is just refreshing in itself.
Yeah.
I don't think Winnipeg has great hotels to stay at, though. Like, maybe I haven't been to the good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the Forks Hotel is supposed to be pretty nice. Like, the Inn at the Forks.
Yeah, I've heard that. And same with the Alt Hotel,
yeah,
but that one seems
Alt,
bloody
yeah.
expensive. It's like $150.
And, like, you have, like, people hanging out by the doors and stuff. So, like, yeah, the hotel's nice, but then you walk out and people are asking you for money. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Winnipeg's got to do
kind
something.
Kind of a weird place.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Location.
It's
I
a
mean,
weird,
it's
yeah,
a weird
location.
Yeah. Well, they're just trying to... there's a lot of incentives to start, building your businesses downtown there.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. We do need to, as a city, like, develop a downtown core.
I mean, the problem is, like, Winnipeg, as we're talking about nightlife, Winnipeg actually doesn't really have, like, a typical nightlife. Like, we have, like, bars and clubs, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to a bigger city, there is so much nightlife.
Yeah.
You could go to, you know, like, little late-night cafes, bookstores. You could go to restaurants that are open late.
Yeah.
But Winnipeg, like, all of the restaurants close by 9.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, if it's, like, past 10, really the only thing you can do is go out to a bar.
Yeah.
That's the only option.
Yeah, you're right.
That's very true.
I went axe throwing, actually.
Where'd you go? That's so fun.
It was, like, in some industrial
area. Yeah, there's two that are, like, right by each other.
Yeah, it was really fun, though. I would totally recommend it. It was, like, you get the place for 2 hours, and I think it's, like, $20 per person, and you can just, like, go crazy.
It sounds pretty fun.
It's about 40 if you get a guy to show you how to do it.
Okay, nice.
And that's what I did the first time I went.
Yeah. Oh, you've been? Nice.
Yeah.
But after, oh, my God, my shoulder was so sore.
I could tell.
It was insane.
It is. It's cool. Like, I don't know if it's just Winnipeg. Maybe it's blowing up in other places. But there's multiple axe-throwing places in the city now.
I don't think it's just Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg has it because it's blowing up in other places.
It could well be. It is so much fun. When I'm done CreeCom and I have more time and disposable income, I most likely will actually join the club.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
nice.
Like, I actually had a pretty good knack for
it.
We, like, the guy that we had, because it was fun. We went for one of my friend's birthday, and she really wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because in the summer, you know, sometimes we use throwing knives and stuff. We probably shouldn't because we drink while we do it. But
probably fine.
Yeah, so we decided we were going to go axe throwing for her birthday. 3 months later, it's her birthday. We go, and we each paid $40 so that we could have a guide.
Right.
And so he did competitions with us and all
nice.
This. And so it was a lot of fun, and me and my friend ended up being in the final of the competition. It was actually, like, quite the competition.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, everyone was doing pretty good and all points-based. But, like, the knack you get for it, and then we started using the big axes.
Yeah, the fire axe, the big one. Yeah, that's,
like,
so good.
And, like, that takes a lot of strength because you have to, like, throw it your whole body.
Yeah.
And, you know, hitting the target with that was so cool. I was like, holy crap, like, look what I just did.
The machete,
nice.
Did
like
you use machete?
That.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was so good,
Yeah, I used to do archery when I was younger.
Nice, yeah.
That
Archery's
was super
cool,
fun.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in years,
nice.
But I'd like to go and do it again because I always just had a blast doing it.
Was
I was never,
like,
very good at it.
Competitive or not?
No, not competitive. Yeah. Just like, it was, because I lived out of town growing up, and my brother had like, he was in a basketball league. So we would we'd have school, and then we'd have to wait around for him like before the basketball league started. And so we started being like, hey, let's do archery. I don't know why, but we just suddenly one day was like, we should do that. And so then we did, and it was super fun. We did it every week for like a year or two.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet. I would definitely like to get into that too. Like, I always just like going into things that could help me in a post-apocalyptic world. I just...
I mean, like, I don't think there's a lot of bows and arrows just lying around, or axes waiting to be thrown.
Yeah, you could make them.
Could you make them, though?
Oh, yeah. I actually was a Boy Scout growing up.
Huh.
So I have a very good understanding of surviving outdoors. Nice. And so, like, things like that I'm interested in. I like actually, like, one day I'd like to even maybe hunt with bow and arrow. Wow. That would be cool.
Huh. But I was thinking about that a few days ago, actually. Like, if the internet went down and I didn't, like... If I was just on my own in the wilderness, I would probably last maybe 2 days. Like, I don't know how to do anything on my own. And, like, even if I wasn't stranded in the wilderness, like, I don't know how to change a tire. Like, I was failed growing up. Why didn't they teach us this stuff?
That's like most people. Yeah. We're at a point in time where we're so reliant on the world we live in.
Yeah.
I feel like we really need to have, like, a life skills class in high school.
I agree.
Oh, absolutely. Where you learn... like, all sorts of life skills, like, that you need. Because, for example, like, I kind of wish I was in, like, a home ec class or something, because I don't know how to sew, and, it, like, my button fell off. Like, I wish I knew how to sew a button.
Yes.
Because that's just a useful skill to have.
Yeah, I know.
If I could sew a zipper on, even better, because my zippers are just falling off.
Zippers are a different story. Zippers suck.
Mm-hmm.
But even the most essential skill to our survival as a species has been fire. And how many people do you know could go into the forest with maybe, like, a flint stick and make a fire? Right?
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Forget that. How many people can even light a fire with matches?
That's true.
Like, just wood and matches.
That's very true.
Because I know a lot of people that can't. Yeah. I had a wood fire stove growing up, so I know how to do it. Oh. But a lot of people do not.
Huh. It's very true. I've been camping and stuff with people that... didn't know how to make a fire.
Well, just throw it all in a pile and then light it.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, no, you have to build a little house. You have to have, like, kindling. You have to have, like, you have to build this thing from the ground up. Yeah, it's a skill that, like, people should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, like, maybe that's an opportunity.
Heck,
right,
some
there.
People don't know how to cook, like, the most basic thing. Some people literally do not know how to boil an egg. That are, like, my age. Like, people our age don't know how to boil
that's
eggs.
That's also a good point. So, like, I don't eat meat, right? And I was talking to my mom the other day, and it's like, if I suddenly started eating meat again, I wouldn't know how to cook a chicken breast. Like, I don't know how to cook apart from, like, steaming vegetables and making rice. Like, I don't know. It's just, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
One thing I do know how to cook is meat. I make, like, a good marinade, and I know how to make the steak tender, and I know how to cook chicken. I work at a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's called Chicken Chef.
Yeah.
And so
I would hope that you know how to cook chicken.
I know how to cook chicken
as a cook at Chicken Chef.
But you know what? Like, that's pressure fried chicken. That anybody could do that. I actually know how to cook a proper chicken breast and make it taste good. And, like, I'm, like, that's the one thing I'm good at cooking is meat. I'm not great at cooking vegetables. I personally, like my vegetables raw anyways. I don't like them cooked. I find the texture weird.
Yeah.
And, like, fruits and... I eat more fruits and vegetables.
I love fruit,
completely. Yeah. But I eat too much meat in my diet. And it's way more than... Like, you shouldn't be consuming meat 2 to 3 meals a day. It's just bad for you.
That's right.
And I do that because, sadly, the most easily accessible food that we can get is meat.
It's true. Meat is everywhere, and it's, like, cheap and easy.
Super processed, though.
Is it
cheap? I mean, it's cheap if you get the super processed stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you go and get a hot dog, it's, like, $2.
Yeah.
And
think about, like, taquitos, right? Taquitos is microwavable fast food. And it's full of chicken.
If you want, like, real, actual good meat, that can get expensive.
Yeah.
Actually, though, this is a good tip I have. This is whenever I probably cook steak once a week, every week or two. Me and my girlfriend, we go get steak. And we just, whenever my parents, because I live with my parents still, whenever they, which is often, go, you guys are on your own for supper. So then, you know, they didn't leave anything that's easy to make. Like, I could make pasta, but, like, that, I have to make a sauce. That's a lot of work. So... we will go to the marketplace, which is a store in Lorette, which is all overpriced stuff, I might add, because it all gets shipped to town from the city. And we go through all the steaks, and we find steaks that are under $3 every time without fail, a prime rib cut.
Wow.
You can always find a cheap steak. And yes, they're not the best cut. But at the same time, if you look at the date and they're packed the day before or that day, that means it's fresh. You make a good marinade, and... your steak will taste amazing. The biggest thing about your marinade is you need to add something that breaks down the enzymes. So you need to put a lot, you need to pepper the hell out of it before you put it in the marinade, and then you need to use Coke as one of your bases for your marinade, because that will break down the enzymes and it'll be a better steak. So that's a tip if you want a cheap steak. Marinate that shit. Not useful for you.
No, but
I
don't know.
Perhaps for listeners.
Tofu something, I don't know.
Well, how long have you been, are you vegan or vegetarian?
I'm vegan, but like I have like, I'm a loose vegan.
Like it that's depends on the
do
day.
Do you like cheese?
I do like cheese, yeah. But I don't eat cheese it every day.
Is, cheese
like,
is apparently as addicting as like heroin.
It is, yeah. It so. Releases the same chemicals in your brain.
I don't, that doesn't shock me.
I eat cheese, yeah, like once or twice a month, like very, very rare. And I don't have milk in my house, like nothing. But I've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years. Like I've been around the block a few times. Yeah, so I know what I'm doing. I really enjoy it.
What are cheap ways you can be vegan or vegetarian? Because the common misconception, I think, is that it's too expensive.
Yeah, if you buy, like, fake meat, then it'll get expensive. But dried beans and rice and vegetables, like, vegetables can be kind of expensive. I live kind of in, like, Wolseley, the West End, so there's not a whole lot of groceries, and fresh vegetables are pretty expensive where I shop. But, yeah, you can even have, like, frozen vegetables, which are a little bit lower in nutrients and stuff, but just cook
I mean,
your
it kind of
food.
Depends, though.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Because I was watching this interesting video about, like, the nutrition between fresh and frozen vegetables.
Yeah.
And it because, like, frozen vegetables will lose a very small amount of nutrition, but it's locked in and they're picked, like, when they're ripe and ready to be picked, whereas...
Yeah.
Other vegetables, like, you would buy in a store are often picked, like, way
before
they're ripe,
yeah.
And then they will ripen, like, as they're
yeah.
on their way,
yeah.
And because of that, they don't reach the peak nutritional content of the thing, so it actually ends up being pretty similar
well,
most of the time.
There you go.
But it depends if you're buying, like, if you're buying fresh and local produce, then obviously that'll be better because it'll be picked ripe. But if you're buying just, like, something that's coming from, like, California, like, it's probably gonna have similar nutritional content to frozen.
We need more farmers markets.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
We need more and you know what, like squares or market lands.
Yeah.
They're proposing, you know, taking down that ugly ass building.
You think it's ugly? I love it, actually.
The mural is really nice.
I don't know. I'm such a sucker for like communist brutalist architecture.
Oh,
it's
the worst.
I love it.
There's only one communist brutalist structure in the world that I think is incredible, and the story of how it made is awful, but the Romanian government building used to be the palace for their dictator, and it is like, it takes up like 6 blocks. Like, it is gargantuous.
Wow.
It's probably the biggest modern palace ever built,
wow.
But it has like that vibe, like that communist vibe.
Oh, yeah, like the block vibe, yeah.
Yeah, but like, it is just huge.
That's so nice.
And
yeah.
that is a cool building, and now their democratic government uses it. But, like... It's so big, and it's so, like, it's a communist-looking palace if there ever was one.
I
hate the 70s architecture, and that, to me, is what, you know, a lot of these buildings would pick. And this market lands is just, like, a big parking complex.
But, like, I think it's interesting that building is so different from all of the other ones in the exchange because
that's true.
Everything else is so historic and, you know, lots of, like, embossing and tons of detail, and this is literally just, like... a block, like a brick, right in the middle of the exchange, and I love it. I don't know.
It does have its charm. The mural?
Yeah, gorgeous.
The mural on the side was so well done. That was just done this year, or like last fall, I guess. And it's really good indigenous art. It's super colorful, super bright, vibrant. It's one of the best looking murals in the city. And I think, too, like, why aren't we just having all of our buildings painted with indigenous art? It looks so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool. And so when we have, like, your style, you like these communist-style-looking buildings from the 70s, why not? Like, let's paint the city.
Jazz it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's make this in a unique place. And at least, like, there's not a lot in Winnipeg that shows enough heritage to the Indigenous people, I find. Like, we're getting there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The addition to the WAG is looking pretty cool. It's like it's going to be an Inuit exhibit.
Oh.
And it has a lot of cues from, like, igloos and other northern style.
Nice.
That's cool.
Traditional.
Yeah.
Inuit places, art is very interesting.
It's super interesting. It's a super interesting culture.
It's really different.
Would you guys ever go to the Territories if you have the chance?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to go so definitely. Bad. The culture there is so different. Like, you can actually go and see, like, it's one of those places that just wasn't as touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you still have, the language is still on road signs, still taught in schools, the food is still there, the stuff's still prevalent there.
I was going to say, going as a vegan or a vegetarian might be a little bit difficult.
That would be difficult. Like, seal is, like on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. The seal industry up there is huge.
Yeah, and that's also a really good point, is that, like, I know there's a lot of vegans that are like, oh, like, fuck the seal industry, blah, 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 but I don't think that you
that's
can be
that. That's their
livelihood. You can't be that black and white on that issue, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, that's the only way that they can really make money, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I don't agree with the practice, but I don't know.
Yeah, I get that people don't like it, but, yeah, when you come to the livelihood of a community, it's very important to
Well, and it is, like, cultural, like, it's part of their culture. You know what I mean?
Well, so. And I even, like, I'm probably the biggest dog lover in the world, but you guys have probably heard me say this before, when it comes to people in other cultures and other places in the world eating dogs, I can't disagree with it because I eat other meat.
Okay, that's good that you, I thought that you were going to be like, people who eat dogs.
No, I
like,
think that's ridiculous.
No, I was going to say, like, because that is completely, like,
it's so hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's like, in India, you know, a large group of people in India don't like eating cows.
Yeah.
We eat cows.
Yeah.
They think that every culture has different foods that they eat. And, like, I love dogs to death. I don't think that, though, if you eat a dog or a cow, there's difference.
Yeah, good.
I wouldn't personally eat one, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't, even if I was, you know, in a part of the world that it was more regular, I don't think I could, and that's because I just love them so much.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also get annoyed when people go and save the dogs over there and bring them back here because we have thousands of homeless dogs here that need homes.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be importing them from other countries when we have our own problems with dogs. So.
That's true.
Yeah, that's definitely a weird thing that especially Westerners have when it comes to, like, foreign ways of eating.
Yeah. I can't even talk to people.
Yeah.
Like that.
You thought I was gonna go there, eh?
I thought I was pretty sure.
I personally don't like the idea of eating a dog, and I wouldn't. But at the same time, it's like
you have to recognize that, like, meat is meat.
Exactly.
Right? At the end of the day, like,
especially places in Asia that are poor, and they have these stray dogs running around. I mean, that's food for some people, right?
Yeah.
Like. If there was an apocalypse tomorrow, I talk about apocalypse a lot, but, and, you know, we were all on our own and, you know, we're living in the bush and there's some stray dogs running around and we're hungry, we're going to eat them.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the place. Like in Australia, they eat kangaroo because kangaroos. Yeah. Like kangaroo are basically rabbits. They produce nonstop and they eat all of the crops. And so people just, like, unabashedly hunt kangaroos because otherwise they'll destroy all their crops. And so people just eat a bunch of kangaroo.
That's a very good meat.
I've heard it's very gamey.
It is.
It's really, like, muscly.
Sinewy.
Yeah.
And I'm very traditionalist when it comes to eating meat. Like, I think that if you hunt your deer and eat it, that's a lot better than going to the grocery store and being a factory farmed cow.
Of course. Yeah.
I wish more people did that. And, like, I remember, like, so we had an ad class a while ago. And a lot of people were looking at the KFC ad, and it was a chicken dancing, and, like, we're talking about how that was a bad move from KFC.
Right.
And I get why people were upset with it, don't get me wrong. But me personally, I think that if you can't look the animal in the eye and understand that you're eating that life of a sentient being, like, you shouldn't even eat it.
I completely agree with you.
Maybe that's just me. Like, I do have a vegetarian mindset. I just, right now in my life, I can't commit to any type of diet like that because I can't afford it, and I don't have the time to make it and prep meals.
Yeah.
But, I'm very much about, like, respecting the animals that we eat. That's one of my favorite parts about a lot of indigenous cultures here is that they wouldn't waste any part of the animal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They respected the animal and how it lived and that it had a life. I think we're desensitized by that from grocery stores.
Yeah.
I could talk about this for so long. But an interesting thing is, like, to bring up is the whole idea of, like, ethical slaughter, and I think that those two things don't
ethical slaughter.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna kill you,
well,
but nicely.
No, it's about like the whole idea of like kosher and halal and stuff. Like they have the list of rules and requirements
to follow
so that it's like ethically killed.
You're still killing it.
Like at the end of the day, I don't think that cow wanted to die, right? So like whether I don't know.
Some people are all about that. I think some people just like to find things to justify their addiction to meat, and it's an addiction. Yeah. Like, we don't need to eat it as much as we do. It is an important staple of a diet to have some, I understand, or to have the protein source. You can live without
a protein source,
right? Yeah. And it's an accessible one. In the world we live in, you know, people are never going to stop eating it. So yeah. I wouldn't feel guilty if you do eat meat, but I would definitely look up how the meat is produced, explore how it's made.
Yeah.
These are important things. And yeah, like a free-range chicken is no different than a cage chicken, because at the end of the day, they're both getting slaughtered before they reach their like peak potential in life.
Yeah.
To be I mean, well, there is like difference in the biology of like the meat itself.
Oh, that's very true. Like I don't like
for like because of the there is definitely a difference for health reasons.
Yeah.
For ethical reasons, it's debatable, but
yeah. My ethics are very, like, if you're killing it anyways, I guess, like, you shouldn't abuse animals. And, like, when we look at the people that work in these, like, hog barns, you see them beating up the pig, and it's like, that guy should be in a psych ward.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not normal behavior.
Yeah.
And so you see those videos and on those documentaries, and it's like, I think there's a bigger issue at hand at what kind of people are working, what kind of conditions are the workers in there, too?
Yeah.
Like, why are people acting that way towards these animals in these environments?
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues surrounding factory farming.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love if factory farming wasn't a thing, but clearly that's a world we can't live in this side of the world anyways.
Well, I don't know, like supply and demand. Like if people just stopped, like
that's true.
I know that like pork is a really big thing here in Manitoba and Winnipeg and stuff. Like I used to live in St. Boniface near the plant, and it was just like so many people worked there, and that was, and I know that a lot of refugees get hired at these plants too, which is like a really interesting thing because they kind of just give them these really shitty jobs that nobody else wants to do, right? Like nobody wants to go and slaughter a pig, right? But then they come here and they get sponsored and that's the only job that they can have.
That's actually very interesting because a lot of these people come from religious backgrounds that they do value halal. I mean, halal is a Arabic term.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that is that's an idealism from that side of the world. So it's interesting that people from that side of the world end up working in these industries that are not halal at all.
Yeah.
But I guess a job's a job, right?
Yeah.
That conversation steered
quite
a direction.
I'm in some dark places. All right, so we're nearing the end of the episode. Do we want to give our weekly media recommendations?
Yeah, sure. We do.
Yeah.
All right, Claire, you seem excited.
I'm excited because I'm recommending season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, yeah!
Did I steal yours? Or
no.
No, okay, good. Yeah, it's amazing. Did you watch the first episode?
I did. Yay. It was really good.
It was really good.
It was very... It's an exciting season, I'll say that. The talent that they have on display so far, it seems like there's a lot of big personalities, a lot of talent.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see some of these queens really show what they can do.
I agree. And, like, coming out of All Stars 3, it's kind of nice to, like, have a little bit of a pulse, because after the end of season 3, I was just kind of like, oh my god.
What did you feel about the end of season 3 of All Stars, by the way?
After Ben de la Creme eliminated herself, I was like, it's over. Like, let's all go home. Like,
she was my favorite in her season, like in season, was it 6? Yeah, in season 6, she was my favorite, and then she was, of course, the favorite in All Stars, and then she left, and it's like, well... I mean, I wanted...
Do you guys care to explain?
Okay, so RuPaul's Drag Race is a reality competition show where RuPaul, who is a rather famous actor and drag queen, hosts a show where a series of drag queens come onto the show, and every week there is a mini challenge and a main challenge that can revolve around like anything from acting to costuming to like dressmaking.
So it's about like fashion and makeup and stuff like that. Like,
well, just sort of all aspects of drag queen. Like fashion is a part of it, but comedy is a part of it. Dancing is a part of it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's a wide variety of skill sets on display. And so they do their big challenge, and then they have the runway where they like wear their amazing dresses and costumes.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the competition, the two weakest competitors that week compete in a lip sync battle, and whoever does the worst goes home that week.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's really entertaining.
It's very good. Yeah. Seasons 8 and 9 are on Netflix. I recommend checking it out if you are all curious. Season 8 is a very good season. Season 9, I did not like, but I know a lot of people did.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
I agree with who won season 9.
Yeah, I mean, the one, the most talented queen won, but I thought that, like, they were less interesting than a lot of the other queens, and they were the most interesting one on the season, yeah. which to me says a lot about that season's quality.
Yes.
But anyway. Season 10 yes. seems exciting.
Watch
season
it.
All-Stars 3 wrapped up, and then I actually got caught surprised because I didn't think season 10 was starting so soon.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, it was like two weeks finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about Trixie winning All-Stars 3?
I mean, like, at least it wasn't BB, but...
Yeah. I wanted Trixie to win if Ben yeah. de la Creme wasn't going to win, yeah. but I know a lot of people are really mad that Shangela didn't even get the chance.
Yeah, I feel like Shangela deserved to go to the top two for sure, but
I think she probably would have if it wasn't for the fact that it was like a vote by committee.
All the other queens,
because
yeah, yeah.
I've heard that like she's not very favorable in the community. Like she's made a lot of enemies.
Wow.
And so I think that's kind of this is all hearsay,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've heard through the grapevine that, you know, she's kind of ticked off a lot of people, so that's probably why she didn't make it. Which is a little unfortunate because it's a show that's supposed to be about your skill.
Right. And I feel like she's kind of rebounded in the weeks after losing, like not winning basically. Like
yeah.
she's on America's Next Top Model
for
now.
Sure.
Like, so she's all right. She's doing okay.
Yeah. Season 10 has started. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's some good stuff. New
yeah.
episodes. I think it's Thursday nights, Friday
I think
maybe.
So. I always watch them late
yeah.
online. But,
anyway, yeah. check it out.
Well, my media recommendation, let's see, I just started listening to a new podcast, actually, called Pottercast, and it's just people talking nonstop about Harry Potter. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, so that's great, and especially with the Crimes of Grindelwald trailer, which I adored already. Besides the fact that they're trying to make Dumbledore sexy, and he's supposed to be, like, a wise old man, and I get that he's young, but, like, I never pictured that Dumbledore to be, like, a really sharp-looking young man. I just pictured him to be, like, an average dude that just was really smart. So... I don't know how I feel about Jude Law as the casting. I think he's a brilliant actor. I think he's playing the role really well so far from what I've seen. But I don't know. Something about a handsome, good-looking Dumbledore just doesn't seem right with the character. But so Pottercast is really good. They break down a lot of... They've talked a lot recently about the Johnny Depp controversies and the accusations. But
yeah.
you know what? J.K. Rowling is standing behind him and... saying that he's just been a victim of falsifying. So.
Okay, but even looking past that, though, there's even more controversy surrounding that, too, because there's a whole thing about, like, just the way that he's been acting as a, like, actor professionally.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but
I only
heard
he's... about the
so, first of all, there was... a lot of it revolves around the filming of the most recent Pirates of the Caribbean movie, where
he
was
drunk the whole time.
Well, okay, there's multiple things. There was a thing where he like, smuggled or attempted to smuggle his dog into Australia.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which was, like,
you
really,
can't do that.
You really, that's, like, super illegal.
Yeah. They don't
like,
have rabies there,
really
if anyone
good
didn't
reasons.
Know. They don't have rabies
yeah.
in Australia, and so they are very strict about bringing pets into Australia. They can be in quarantine for up to 2 months.
Wow.
Anywhere from a week to 2 months. You cannot bring your... You
I
cannot smuggle
that.
Your dog into
Australia. Yeah.
Wow.
So, apparently,
yeah.
he was just, like, very obstinate about the whole thing and just being kind of a jerk about it. And then he did have, like, an quote-unquote apology video where he and his wife came on. But they were just, like... It came off as really false. They're like, we have a message... to Australia. We are very sorry.
Our producer is making us say
yeah, it's... it did not come off as genuine. And then
yeah.
in the actual filming of the movie, yes, he was drunk the entire time.
Which is perfect for his character.
Yeah,
but he was
yeah,
drunk the whole time to the point that he didn't even bother memorizing his lines. He actually had an earpiece that he had, like, demanded that he had all of his lines fed to him through the whole thing.
Is this, this is the new one coming out or the last one?
The last one.
Because that was... I thought that
there's
was the last one.
There's another one coming out.
I don't think so. Okay. Because
oh
I thought the last
God,
one was the last
I was like,
one.
Yeah, I think
die.
That one is the
like,
last
yeah.
one.
Yeah. It wasn't his
so,
best performance. It wasn't the best Pirates
yeah, number
movie.
Five. And so there's just a lot of, like, talk in Hollywood right now about his just standing as a professional.
Huh.
Period.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, they obviously get held to a higher standard in Hollywood as actors. As
okay, but, like, also if you showed up to work
so.
Drunk and,
yeah.
like, refused to
totally.
Do your job, right, and just had someone,
yeah.
like, do
I,
it for
I
you,
agree.
Like, he would get fired on this
yeah.
one.
For sure.
And I'm sure he does need a reality check. They normally
oh, yeah.
always do because they think they're bigger than life. But you know what? I will say this. His performance for the 3 seconds he was on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, I didn't like how he looked as Grindelwald. I was like, that just looks like blonde Johnny Depp. However, in the trailer, he's scraggly, he has a beard, you know, the different color eyes were more obvious because Grindelwald has the different colored eyes, and he was like skinny and malnourished looking, and he looked like how Grindelwald is described. Like, you just see him for a quick scene in the trailer, and he looks like exactly, so hopefully he doesn't just act like Captain Jack Sparrow the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. Like in The Lone Ranger, for example.
And, God, I forgot that movie existed for a second. I was so actually bad. At peace. And then you reminded me, and now it all came crashing down.
But yeah, so I'm hoping that's the case. PotterCast covers this a lot. I'm super stoked to see where this movie goes, to see young Dumbledore, to see his interactions with Grindelwald. I want less of Newt Scamander. I don't think he's a great character. Even if he was acted better, some people say it's bad acting. I don't think he's a good character, period.
Eddie Redmayne was very likable in the movie.
No, he was just awkward.
I really
and,
like him as an actor.
Yeah. He's honestly not that likable as an actor, and he really didn't do much to help that in a character that is supposed to be likable.
Yeah.
So I hope he's not in it that much, but I'm a little worried because in the trailer there's a line about where Dumbledore is like, I need you, Newt Scamander. It's like, I
don't. Why no, do you don't. Need him? He's not even a good wizard.
Just leave him behind. You can do it on your own.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my recommendation. I obviously am not into reality TV because I'm so out of the loop. The reality TV I would suggest would be watch the Winnipeg Jets as they approach the playoffs. They are a clinched spot, and this is the best team we've ever had on the ice in Winnipeg, I think, in the existence of Winnipeg. Like, even the old Jets, I don't think we ever had as promising of a team. So if you like hockey, they play good hockey. Every game is exciting, and I would definitely recommend to start tuning in now if you haven't been a big hockey fan up until now and you want to get into it.
So my media recommendation for this week is, it's a video game. It is Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom. So the first Ni No Kuni game came out in, like, 2012, maybe? It was a PlayStation 3 game. The interesting thing about it is that it was a co-production between Level 5, which is a game studio, and Studio Ghibli, which is an animation studio, which you may know for producing films like Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke and My Neighbor Totoro. Absolutely gorgeous animation in all of these. So them teaming up with a game studio was really just like, wow, this game is going to look amazing. And it did. It looked absolutely amazing. The gameplay was a little bit stale. It was this weird sort of mix between like an action RPG and like a Pokemon style game where you collected these monsters, but it had this weird like active time battle system where you selected a thing and then you had to wait like 3 seconds for your attack to play out. It was all right, but it wasn't that great. And now flash forward to last week where the second game comes out. It is no longer a co-production with Studio Ghibli, but they kept the same art style, so it still looks amazing.
Yeah.
And they've adapted the gameplay style, so now it's more action-based. You run around and you press the button, you immediately start attacking. You have a dodge button, you have a block button. Super fun, super colorful. That's my recommendation. Check it out on PS4. I have not yet. It is like a 30-hour game, I'm just a few hours in. But.
Cool. All right, well, that sums up the third installment of Gen Life Podcast. We hope to see you all next time.
Check us out on our social media at Gen Life.
Gen Life on Twitter and
uppercase G, uppercase L.
Yeah.
Two words. And also our Facebook, which is Gen Life, all uppercase.
Yeah. The magazine like trade fair is approaching where our first edition will be released. We're very excited. It'll be April 13th at the Red River College Exchange District campus or the Roblin Center. We hope to see you all there. Thank you. Thank you very much, and
good night.
There may
be dogs.
There may be dogs. That's always a promise. Good night.